Today's Bible reading is from the book of John. John 1, 1 to 3. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. John 1, 14. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son.
Thanks, Juliet, for reading God's Word for us today. Well, today as we continue in our series, Emotionally Healthy Relationships, I thought I'd start by talking about a movie that you may or may not have seen. A movie from 1983, which was directed and starred Woody Allen. And the movie was called Zelig. And again, this movie is little known around the world. It only grossed $60,000 in the opening week in the box office and $11 million worldwide. But this movie, Zelig, had critical acclaim across the world because great reviews because of the way Woody Allen portrayed this fictional character in the film, the main character called Leonard Zelig. And in the movie, Leonard Zelig was this man, basically a human chameleon in the film. And he became a celebrity in the 1920s, as the story goes, because of his unique power and his ability to adapt and to look and act like whoever it was that came around him. Whether that be black or Indian or Chinese, Scottish, you name it, Zelig became those people or that person in the film. What he does is in the film, he jokes with the prize fighter, the boxer in Jack Dempsey. He mingles with well-known famous political figures. When he's with the Chinese, it's like he's straight out of China. When he's talking with the rabbis, he somehow miraculously grows a long beard and curls in the side of his hair. At the Vatican, he's part of the Pope's clerical attendants. And just like a chameleon, he changes colour wherever he goes. And the issue with this is that in the film, this human chameleon does so at the expense of his own identity or understanding of his true self. Ultimately, wherever he goes, he conforms. And the reason why he does this is key to the whole purpose and premise of this film, of this movie. And if we were to put on our emotionally healthy spirituality glasses, I wonder how you would respond as to the reason and the motivations for a character or a person to be doing something like this, to be conforming and to becoming like those around him. Well, the reason in the film, this behavior is driven by a desire to be safe, to fit in, to be accepted, and ultimately to be liked. And at times, unfortunately, this reality mirrors our own living true reality in our lives, that we too at times need to be accepted or conformed to be liked by other people. And when we do this, this is ultimately unhealthy in terms of building emotionally healthy relationships in our lives. And it's not just a teenage thing, adults do it as well. This desire to conform and to fit in, whenever we do this and compromise our God-given selves in order to be liked. This is ultimately unhealthy behavior. And why? Because again, we cannot be our authentic selves. And this has huge ramifications for how we come to love others and come to listen to them as Jesus did. For today, we are going to be diving into how we can be incarnationally listen. That's the topic and the theme of today's message, to incarnationally listen. But we'll also be diving in how we learn how to do this whilst not losing our true selves and our true identity as well. Ultimately, what we'll be looking at today is how we can enter into another person's world or their life, as Leonard Zelig does, but remain our true selves without having the desire to be liked, to conform, or to be accepted with those around us. For we are called to be incarnational, but not at the expense of our true self. So first of all, what does it mean to be truly incarnational? What does this notion of being incarnational truly mean? Well, first and foremost, we get this idea and this notion of incarnational or being incarnational based on this passage of John 1 that was read out to us, because we are first introduced to this key notion, this key idea, which is central to the Christian faith. This idea that God was incarnate, or Jesus was God incarnate. God came to earth, put on human flesh, and made his dwelling among us. And this is what separates the Christian faith with every other religion out there in the world. For every other religion, every other faith background, struggle to grapple and grasp this idea of God becoming human, God putting on flesh and making his dwelling or his neighborhood in our midst. Other faiths think this is odd, or simply that this is blasphemy, as in the Islamic religion. But we believe by faith that Jesus Christ was God incarnate. And what we see Jesus teach to his disciples and in turn to his church is that the church ought to adopt and to live out this incarnational lifestyle, which is to be in the world but not of it, to be living amongst and to be living alongside and amongst our friends and colleagues who don't know Jesus Christ, and demonstrating to them who Jesus truly is by what we say, what we think, and what we do. So when it comes to building emotionally healthy relationships within our church community, which we've obviously been speaking about this year, Peter Scazzaro, the author of this series and this book, he writes that our task is to ultimately follow and model the life of Jesus. Again, this is called the incarnation. He says, we need to focus on loving well, recognizing the indispensable mark of spiritual maturity is not about numbers or spiritual gifts or biblical knowledge. The essence of genuine spiritual life is to love God, love others, and love other people. But this is key to the characteristics, or one of the key characteristics of the incarnation. It is love. In Jesus coming to earth in human form, he was ultimately love incarnate. Amen. His purpose and his mission was to demonstrate, to show, and to model one of the key characteristics, one of the key attributes of God, and that is that he is a God of love. And it can be said that there is no greater way to show our love for somebody or to demonstrate this love by listening to others, showing up in their lives. Jesus knew that there was no better way to show human beings what true love is than by entering into their lives. That's how he showed his love to us, by entering into our lives, showing up in our neighborhood, as the Message version puts it. And so this is a key skill, a key attribute that each and every one of us need to work on, need to learn and adopt into our daily rhythms and in our lives. So first and foremost this morning, to be incarnational as Jesus was incarnational is to love others. And again, Jesus showed us that this wasn't just something that we experience on the inside. It's not just an emotion that we feel on the inside, but it's something that can be demonstrated. It's a doing word. It's a verb. We can demonstrate this in action. Love can be done. And the Gospels are filled of stories and accounts of Jesus showing up in people's life and simply being present with them. Have a think about those stories that come to mind for you. The disciples, Nicodemus, the story of the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, the rich young ruler. In each of these stories, Jesus was never distracted. Notice that he was never distracted or in a rush. He took time to explore their stories, each and every one of their unique and individual stories, their lives. Ultimately, what he did was listen. Author David Alsberger says, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Dietrich Bonhoeffer took this notion one step further when he said the first service that one owes to others in the community involves listening to them. Just as our love for God begins with listening to God's word, the beginning of love for other Christians is learning to listen to them. God's love for us is shown by the fact that God not only gives us God's word, but also lends us God's ear. We do God's work for our brothers and our sisters when we learn to listen to them. What an incredibly revolutionary thought, amen? So to be incarnational is to love, which is ultimately to listen. That is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. We are called to be present with people and learn to adopt the skill of listening to them and actively listening to them. And you may have heard of many sermons or messages along similar lines, and some of the passages that come to mind in this area are ones like Proverbs 17, verses 27 to 28, which says, "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues." Or James 1:19, which says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." But if we are honest with ourselves, this skill of listening doesn't come naturally to us, does it? I know it wasn't something that came naturally to me in my life, but something I have really had to work at, particularly in ministry. Because we can be so hurried and in a rush, we so often miss these opportunities to be present with people, to stop and to listen. And so the challenge for us when we come back from this lockdown season is to not get caught up in the rat race again, but be attuned to the Holy Spirit and what He is seeking to do in our lives in order for us to be present with those in particular who do not know Jesus. But the reality is, if we look back at our family dynamic again and the impact that has played in our lives, most of us, I would say, wouldn't have grown up in family dynamics that were good at listening with one another. It's important to note, though, that this is a skill that we need to adopt, is a skill that we need to learn if we are to grow to become emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy followers of Jesus who build emotionally healthy relationships with other people. For it again, it is one of the most significant ways, and hear it again, this is one of the most significant ways that we can show our love for another individual, another human being, simply by listening to them. Opening our hearts, our minds, giving them our time to listen to their stories and what they have to say to us. So it's clear that we are called to be incarnational as well. Incarnational listeners. And the key, as Peter Scazzaro points out, is to listen at a heart level with empathy, attuned to the words and the non-verbal cues or the non-verbal communication of another person. Which again is something that we're probably not used to. And again, if I'm to reflect on my experiences, this is something again that I've had to work at. But I can honestly say some of my most rewarding and encouraging opportunities that I've shared and had in ministry up until this point are the times where I've just been present with someone, available to them, and they've broken down into tears in my office or at a cafe simply because I have taken the time to spend time with them and to listen to their stories. With no agenda, with no judgment, with no trying to fix their situation, which is my natural inclination, or to fix their problems, provide solutions. Simply sitting there and giving them a listening ear has been some of the most incredible ways that this person has felt loved in their lives. And again, this is something they've had to work at and get better at because it's not my natural inclination. But again, as we reflect on our upbringings and the family dynamic, how did we go about this as when we were growing up? How did our families model to us communicating and building healthy relationships in the family dynamic? How did your family grow up communicating to one another, speaking to one another? For what we find when we gather all the stories and the data It's how we learn to speak and to listen within our family dynamic. It's going to be revolutionary. It's going to be radically different and in sharp contrast to how we ought to speak in the family of Christ, as we ought to speak as brothers and sisters in Christ's household. So as we reflect on some of the stories and the accounts that we are given of Jesus in the Gospels, some of which that we have already mentioned, what we see in these stories, in these accounts, is that Jesus builds relationships with people in a healthy way. He speaks and he listens to them in the following ways. First and foremost, he speaks to them respectfully. He speaks to them respectfully. He's always there listening to their stories respectfully, honestly, is number two. He's always honest with them. He's not afraid to share the truth with them. Third of all, he speaks clearly to them. And fourthly, he is timely with the words he says in response. But what we see in unhealthy communities and in unhealthy relationships, what we see take place are people who want or expect another person to think or to feel the same way they do. Have a think about your lives and your relationships, the exchanges you see on social media. How much of that dialogue is about one person getting another to agree with them or to see their side of the fence? Unfortunately, this isn't always going to be the case. And I think, and if we think this way and have these expectations, if we think back to what we spoke about last week with the aspect of expectations, it's going to have an effect on how you and I relate, speak, and listen to another person, to another human being. Whereas in healthy relationships, in healthy communities, there's a mutual respect, isn't there? Where each individual respects the other's separateness, allowing the other to have their own thoughts, their own feelings, their own fears and values. And the key for us is to not be dismissive of these, but to listen, to accept them, and to respond as Jesus did, respectfully, honestly, clearly, and timely. Again, this is what he did. He knew straight away that everyone that he came into contact with, every relationship that he built, that they weren't going to agree with him. Because he's the Son of God, he was God incarnate. His ways are revolutionary to our ways. His ways are radical to our ways. It's us that need to adopt his lifestyle, his way of life, not the other way around. But he was always respectful towards them. Again, he spoke honestly towards them. He spoke truth. He was clear, he was timely, but again, notice that he never spoke over them or berated them, even to the Pharisees, the people that were most hostile towards him. He always gave them the space and the time. Yes, he rebuked them. Yes, he came back at them, but he was always respectful in the way that he went about it. So first of all, Jesus loved people by listening to them, entering into their worlds, and spoke to them respectfully, honestly, clearly, timely, and engaged with them at their level. And then what we see take place is a beautiful model for listening. If we look at the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, what we see from his life is a beautiful model for listening to others. Have a look at this. Jesus entered or left his world, heaven. And when we listen to someone, we are ultimately leaving our worlds. What we see, Jesus, on that first Christmas morning, entered into our world. And when we take the time to listen, we enter into another person's world by listening to them. Crucially out of all of this, though, is in doing so, Jesus was still able to hold onto himself, stay true to himself and what he believed to be true. He didn't always agree with these people. Again, take a look at the narrative, the account of the engagement with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Jesus was respectful to her, didn't agree with what she said, but responded appropriately and in truth. He stayed true to himself. And last of all, Jesus hung in between the two worlds, heaven and earth. And we may not like what we hear from another individual or another person, but we can still hang in the tension of these two worlds, the two worldviews, these two different perspectives. And so there's a little snapshot of how we can relate Jesus' life and ministry to the way in which that we can ultimately listen to another. And we're only really scratching the surface at this present time. There's an extensive amount of notes. There's more extensive ways and practices that you can practice these skills in the notes section. And I'll send those out to you all now. What's important to note again is that these are practices and skills that we are needing to adopt that are crucial and critical if we are to build healthy relationships with one another. Because the last two points are also crucial, because when we are incarnational with another, again, to be incarnational is to love, which is to listen. We need to realize that we do this, but not at the expense of losing ourselves. So once again, to be incarnational is to love, which is to listen, but not at the expense of losing ourselves. Because what we see is that when we listen well, just as Jesus did, we leave our worlds, and what we do then is then we enter into another person's world when we genuinely listen to them. When we stop all the distractions, when we stop the rush and trying to stop talking to them to get onto the next job and the next activity, when we give them our full undivided attention, we are entering into their world. If we're doing all the other stuff, we're still focused on our world and what we need to achieve, what we need to do, aren't we? But when we stop and take the time to look at this person, to appreciate them as another human being, that they have a story to tell, then we enter into their world. And I think this is helpful, particularly when we might disagree with someone or when we might be in conflict with another person, another human being. It's helpful to look at the issue from the other side of the fence, to step into their shoes, as it were, and to maybe use phrases like, I can see why you might think like that, or I understand why it is that it makes you feel that way. But in all of that, what we see, Jesus had these experiences, but he remained true to himself. Now, a lot of his ministry was revolving around conflict. We've spoken about this. But again, when we listen, we don't have to agree. We don't have to conform. Jesus was able to stay true to himself. We need to stay true to ourselves as well. And I think sometimes we can look at listening and learning this skill of listening and healthy communication. Sorry, let me repeat that. I think sometimes we can look at this and we think listening and healthy communication means we have to agree with the other person, but that's not right. That is not correct. People who have healthy relationships realize that there will be times where they disagree with the other. The key is how we navigate around those situations and those times where we do come into situations where we may be in conflict or we may disagree. There was a situation recently with me, myself, and my best mate where he came around for dinner and we were engaged in a dialogue on a particular theological issue. And he was coming from one tangent, I was coming from another tangent. And we were in clear opposition. We had clear different views on this particular topic. But we navigated that conversation in an extremely healthy manner, to the extent by at the end of the conversation, we walked away from that still best mates. And I was in the middle of this material, looking and reading into it. And I actually said to him at the end of the conversation, look, that's the perfect example of how two people can disagree with another, but yet still have a healthy, robust conversation and walk away still best mates at the end of it. What we see when people disagree, particularly at that level, and it had the potential for us to be divided or to be upset at each other, but we walked away from that because we listened to each other's point of view. We respected one another's point of view. I didn't agree with it, but I remained true to myself, and we spoke in a way that I believe gave God all the glory. So that's one example in my life recently where I put this into practice, and it's seemed to be revolutionary in my life, seemed to be and proven to be true. So again, learning the art of listening doesn't mean that we have to agree. But what we see most importantly is that we need to learn to live and to hang in the tension of these two worlds, these two different worldviews, these two different opinions, because that's the way Christ did it. It's a healthy way. And this is why that illustration that I spoke about earlier and that story of Leonard Zelig is so important to understand, because staying true to ourselves and who God has created us to be It's so important that in order that we can still have relationships and healthy relationships without conforming or trying to be liked by other people. Again, Jesus could have easily done this. He could have easily tried to please people, people please, and conform in order to be liked and have his worldview and his thoughts heard. But he didn't. He stayed true to himself. We also need to be true to ourselves as well. But also true to ourselves so we don't get to the other extreme where we berate people or try and speak over them and be dismissive of their opinions and values. So as you can see, this is an extensive sort of skill that we need to learn and adopt. And again, we're only scratching the surface here today. Once again, there's extensive notes in the notes section for you, which I will send you the link to you now in the chat. But the take-home point here today, first and foremost, once again, is that we are called as Christ Church to live an incarnational lifestyle. Amen. We are called to this incarnational way of living just as Christ did. And this entails loving others. To be incarnational is to love, which is to listen, but not at the expense of our true selves, the way God has created us to be. So once again, I encourage you to engage with those notes. Seek out opportunities to learn more about this skill, active listening skills, this skill of listening, in order that we can continue to build healthy relationships in our midst. Amen. Let's pray as we come to this time of prayer. Well, Father God, as we reflect on what we've heard here today, we reflect on the importance it is to live incarnational lifestyles first and foremost, to love other people. But Lord, we thank you for the reality that you have demonstrated that to us. You haven't left it up to our own devices to understand what true love looks like or Christ-like love. You've actually demonstrated it. You've actively lived it out. And so when we look at the cross, when we look at your life and the way you lived when you walked this earth, we see a person who loved others, who was present with them, who gave them the time of day, who ultimately listened to them and their stories where they were at. So Lord, help us to adopt that into our own way of life. Help us to adopt these rhythms and these practices in order that we can continue to build healthy, emotionally healthy relationships in our midst, in our church community, but also in our lives as well. So Lord, as we reflect on this area here today, continue to give us the strength by the power of your Holy Spirit to live this out. Go before us, we pray, but most importantly, as we navigate through this, help us not to do this at the expense of losing our true selves, those you have created us to be. So Father, thank you again for this time, and we ask that you would bless us now as we come to this time of prayer and as we leave this space today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.